to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. We're going to talk about the fact that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter number 1 in your Bible. And I have been, the number of books that I've been reading keep pointing me to the book of Galatians. And I've just for, a month or so now reading the book of Galatians at least once a day. And God's been teaching me so much from this book that I just want to share some things in the next few weeks at least from Galatians. And today we're going to look at Galatians chapter number 1. If you found your place there, we're going to stand, if you're able to stand with me and read the first five verses. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The theme of the book of Galatians is the just shall live by faith. You'll notice that verse is found in Galatians 3:11, and that statement is also found in a verse in the book of Habakkuk, the book of Romans, and in the book of Hebrews. And I've chosen that for the theme of this book, the just shall live by faith. What's it mean to walk by faith? What's it mean to live by faith? Father, I pray that you would bless the Word of God this morning. God, that you would teach us just a little bit about what it means to walk by faith, to live by faith, to walk in your grace, to know your glory. And God, I pray that you would bless our time together this morning as we look into the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us. Thank you for this time that we've set aside to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to study the Word of God, to sing these great songs, and to hear the wonderful testimonies we've heard today already. Bless now your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You have a seat if you will. The book of Galatians, and just a little bit of background, was one of the earlier epistles or letters the Apostle Paul wrote. There's some question of when exactly it was written. I think it was written between the first and second missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. On his first, second, and third missionary journey, he visited cities that are mentioned, Iconium, Derbe, and Lystra, that are in the region known as Galatia on your Bible map. And this was the beginning of Paul's ministry. And we'll talk some things about that this evening, Lord willing. He talks about the very foundation of what we believe, what we practice as New Testament believers. And later that foundation will be the theme of a longer book that goes into more detail. And really, if you study the book of Galatians alongside of the book of Romans, you'll find that Galatians is the short version of the book of Romans. And it might, maybe we could call it Cliff's Notes or Paul's Notes. Romans was written toward the end of Paul's ministry, and Galatians was written at the beginning of Paul's ministry. He's not changed any of his beliefs. He's added some understanding to them, but he was very clear in what he understood and what he taught in the book of Galatians. And Galatians chapter number 3, of course, is the verse that I'm going to use for the theme verse. In fact, the more I study this book, I see it as a commentary on one verse, one statement that the Lord Jesus Christ made. And that was something that Jesus said in John chapter number 6 and verse number 63. Let's see, I've got it up here somewhere. I thought I put it up here. You know what? Maybe I didn't put it up here. I thought I did. Sorry about that. John 6 and verse number 63. You might know the verse, and I'll put it up on the screen next week. I meant to have it up there while we preach this morning. Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." There it is there. I found it. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. That word profiteth doesn't mean what we might think when we hear the word prophet today, or profiteth, if you look it up in a dictionary today, or what we think of when we hear that word. If you look it up and do a word study, you find out that it means more than just making a profit. That's how we think of profiteth. When I, you know, earn something, we make a profit. But what the word means in its context, and the true meaning of that word, is that the flesh helps out in nothing. The flesh doesn't help us out. It doesn't earn anything for us. It doesn't give us any merit or any favor with God. The flesh profiteth in nothing. And what Paul is dealing with in the book of Galatians is that the flesh has nothing to do with saving us, and the flesh has nothing to do with sanctifying us. Grace, as I've given a definition many times of grace, is God doing in me and through me what is impossible, what I cannot do on my own. That has to do with my salvation. I didn't save myself. You didn't save yourself. If you're saved, it's all because of the grace of God. And if you're walking with God, it's not because you're a good Christian, because you've done this thing and you've earned your stripes or you've paid a certain price. No, it's all of God's grace. And Paul deals with that in detail in the book of Galatians, that there's nothing I can do to earn God's grace or to keep God's grace. I've been thinking about a song. I don't know if anybody knows this song. I think we sang it in the choir once before. I'd like you to sing it with me if you know it. All of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory, since by grace He lifted me from sin and woe. Living grace has been extended, as on Him my heart depended, and He'll give new grace when it's my time to go. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from His bountiful shore. Grace to cross the river, grace to face forever. There'll be new grace I've not needed before. There's been grace for every trial. There's been grace for every mile. There's been grace, sufficient grace from His vast supply. I messed up the words there. Grace to make my heart more tender, grace to love and pray for sinners. But there'll be new grace when it's my time to die. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from His bountiful shore. Grace to cross the river, grace from His forever. There'll be new grace I've not needed before. I know this. God doesn't give His grace ahead of when we need it. God's grace is always sufficient in our time of need. And we talk about the grace of God. There's so much we don't know about the grace of God. I want you to notice a couple of words in our text this morning. Now, it's been my habit in studying Bibles that I kind of have a way that I approach study, and this is something I've learned over the years, that I like to go through a book of the Bible and divide it, first of all, in a paragraph without paying attention to the chapter and verse divisions to, instead of using them as the divisions, figure out the context and the thought and make it into paragraphs. And I like the Apostle Paul because my wife says, I'm the king of run-on sentences. No, it's the Apostle Paul. That's where I've learned from. So I have a habit of outlining the Bible by paragraphs. And I also have a habit of noticing and studying certain words that I see as key words. Sometimes they're used in repetition. Sometimes they're just, that seems to be the main word in the paragraph. And in studying the book of Galatians, I started writing down the key words, I think last week, and came up with 30, I call them vocabulary words, 30 words that are worth studying. And I've made it a habit of digging into some of them I've studied before. And just in our text today, I noticed that there are 7 of the 30, and I'll just mention them to you. You'll see them in our text in verse number 1 through 5, the word apostle. We might come back to that one tonight. Jesus Christ, or also is mentioned 15 times we see Jesus Christ. Only 3 of those times it says the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of those is a title, and each one of them is important. And then God the Father. Notice in verse number 1, He's God the Father. Is that where it is in verse number? God the Father. But down in verse number 4, it says God our Father. And there is a difference there. Or the churches, another word. Another word is the word grace. And another word is the word peace. And another key word that I find is worth studying in this book is the word glory. And I'm going to look at those two words, especially glory and grace. And I want to emphasize this morning as I'm going through the book of Galatians. I'm not going to go as I normally like to do in taking and outlining it one section at a time. I'm just going to look at key things that I've learned in the book of Galatians. Otherwise, we could be in this book for about 6 years, I would estimate. So I don't want to take that long, but I want to point out some key things in the book of Galatians. And this morning, I want to emphasize this. It's His glory and His grace. When we talk about grace and glory, we need to remember it's His grace and His glory. I've given you the definition that, and of course, there's a lot of good definitions of grace. And the one that I like the best, because it really applies not only to salvation, but grace since we've been saved, is God doing in me and through me what is impossible, what is humanly impossible, what I cannot do on my own. I found one of the best lessons in my life is to learn that I cannot live the Christian life on my own. The Christian life is not a set of rules. That's religion. But the life of grace is God transforming me from the inside out. I fear that many Christians that are sincere, that want to do right, but they're frustrated because they're trying to earn something from God. But it's all of grace. We can't make ourselves more spiritual, but God can do the impossible through us. And not only His grace, and it's His grace, not our grace, but it's His glory. I've been kind of stuck on that word glory. As you see the word in verse number 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. What is the definition of glory? And I won't give you a simple little definition. I'm just thinking some things that I think of when I think of glory. I haven't come up with when I do word studies, I like to simplify it as short as I can in a short sentence and give you a definition of that word. And I haven't come up with one yet for glory. I've heard some, but I've just not found one that I'm happy with. Glory speaks of His brightness, His majesty, His splendor, His magnificence. The fact that He is exalted, that He is holy, that He's superior to anything that we can ever know. It speaks of His loftiness, His power, His person, His character, His attributes, who He is. That's His glory. The book of Isaiah says that tells us that He is high and lifted up. Isaiah 55 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, and so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Romans 11 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Or who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him that it should be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever." Amen. Glory is His brightness, His majesty, His splendor, His holiness. The fact that He is exalted, the fact that He is superior, that He's more powerful than we could ever comprehend. I heard a statement this week, and I know some of you men were at all or part of the men's retreat this week. I was only able to be there for one evening for the meal, and I got to shoot a gun a few times, which that made it the fun part, right? It got to share one meal up there in fellowship with some dear friends, and some of you were there that night in the service that I heard preached from Brother Castle. He made a statement that stuck with me. This was Thursday night, the night that I was up there. He made a statement in his introduction that wasn't even what he was preaching on. This is why I take notes during the message, because God usually will give me something that the preacher may just say in passing, that, wow, that was good. It was one of those wow things. One of those things that he said that I have not been able to get out of my mind, and it corresponds with what I'm looking at today, the glory of God. He just simply said this, that God reveals His glory to us in three ways. I was going to put them up on here, but I didn't put them up on the screen for you. And I'll give you the first one. I'll give them one at a time and just mention something about them. First of all, He reveals His glory to us first and foremost in His holiness. That He is holy. He's above anything that we can even comprehend. He is without sin. None of us can comprehend what that's like, to be without sin. His holiness. The angels around the throne in Isaiah chapter 6 and Revelation chapter number 4, the archangels are around the throne crying out day and night, "God is love," right? Oh, no, 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 no. They're crying out, "God is holy. Holy, 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 Lord God of hope, who was and is to come," crying out His holiness, His attribute. And there's nothing that reveals His glory more than the fact that He is holy. That is His chief attribute. Without understanding His holiness, without getting a little grasp of His holiness, we can never begin even to understand His love. And I know our world emphasizes the love of God today, but they've left out the holiness. They're missing it completely. Without the holiness of God, you can't understand how He is just and righteous, and we don't deserve to even approach the throne of God. Thank God for His grace and love. And His holiness reveals His glory. And the second thing that reveals His glory is simply this. And this is a statement. He just said these three things. And I don't know if you guys caught it when He said it. And it just caught my attention because of what I've been praying about and studying about all week. And secondly, His creation reveals His glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. And let me just, I'm going to illustrate this by something before I give you the third one. I brought something here today that I want to put out. Isn't that groovy? I thought of bringing my lava lamp, but this one will be good enough. So, you don't think I have a lava lamp? Oh, yeah, I do. I light it up just to groove out sometimes. Uh-oh. It worked in rehearsal. There we go. That's a light. That's kind of bright when you look at it, isn't it? Now, picture this, if you would. That light could represent the sun. If that now that's a pretty small sun, isn't it? But just for illustration, say, don't look at it too long, you might fry your eyeballs, all right? That light is the sun. In comparison to the sun, Janelle, did you dust yesterday? Did you dust in here? Uh-oh, I see a speck of dust. Right here, I see a speck. Oh, I put that there. You dusted okay. I just put that. There's a little speck of dust right here that you can't see. I can't even see it. I still can't see it. The little speck of dust here in the corner of the pulpit, that would represent the earth. That's all we are, is a speck of dust in comparison to that sun. That would be about the distance, the size of the sun compared to the size of the earth. Now, I want you to think about something. That sun gives out glory. It gives out light. It gives out energy. Now, you go outside yesterday in the sun, what do you say? It's hot. I don't want to tell you what the temperature is. I want to tell you the drama temperature. Man, it was over 100 in the drama temperature today. Don't you ever wonder what people did before they had that drama temperature to complain about? And before they had air conditioning to go inside the house and get cooled off and then go outside and complain about how hot it is? Never mind that. But it was hot out in that sun. But if you picture the sun and then this little speck over here called the earth, and you see the glory that leaves that sun, which direction does it go? Seems like it's all coming to us on days like yesterday, right? It goes every direction. Now keep in mind, everything on this earth, everything on that earth that's represented by that little speck, lives and is completely dependent upon that sun. Everything. We would not be here. We would not have life. Nothing here would exist. We'd be a wasteland. There'd be nothing without that sun. All our energy, all our light, everything comes from that sun to this little speck. Now think of that glory is going out every direction. Only a, and I don't even know, the number is astronomically long, the zeros that are after it. The energy and the light that goes from every direction of that sun, only a trillionth, the biggest number I can say. I don't know what number is higher than that. That much of that energy comes to the sun, or to the earth. Everything on our earth is dependent upon that sun. But that glory goes every direction. You see how little of the glory we know of God's glory? And then besides that, what does get to the earth, a third of that is blocked out by the atmosphere. So a quadzillionth, I don't know if that's even a number. Let's make up a number and then put a whole bunch of zeros and put a times 10 or times 20 or something after it. And all those numbers, all of that energy, all that light that comes from the sun, only a very minute, and I use that for this illustration, all the glory that comes, and by the way, that sun is nothing compared to the glory and the energy that comes from God. That's just a speck in the whole universe compared to God's glory. But all that we know on this earth comes from that sun. And we know very little of the glory. We can capture very, very little of the energy and the glory that comes from that sun. It's infinitely more than we can ever imagine. And so too is the glory of God. It's infinitely more than we can ever imagine or even comprehend. The third way that God shows His glory, and this is what the book of Galatians is all about, not only in His holiness, in His creation, but in His redemption. In His redemption. Oh, wow. Think of that. The fact that I've experienced God's grace, that I've experienced God's mercy, there's so much, and I'll emphasize this again, there's so much of God's redemption plan, what Jesus did to save me, that I cannot possibly comprehend or understand. But what little teensy tiny bit, and again, that little speck that we call the earth, I'm just an undetectable speck on that earth. And we live in a day where we think the universe revolves around us. In fact, that's the problem with America. That's the problem with our world today. In fact, God said in the last days, perilous times shall come. We live in perilous times, don't we? And the reason perilous times comes because men shall be lovers of what? Their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. There's our that's not the world. That's my problem. I love myself more than I should. And that's the thing that blocks out the glory of God. It's not about me. It's about Him. If we could get just a small glimpse of His glory. It's not my glory. It's His glory. And that's what I want to emphasize. Today, just say this. And I'll just give you, this is the outline that I have, actually, before I got stuck on those things, the three things that reveal His glory. When it comes to grace, and the book of Galatians is talking about God's grace, God working in us and God working through us, compared to us earning our salvation and earning our spirituality or sanctification. Grace means that God does something for me. The law means that I do something for God. I perform for God. You see, the works of the law, the works of the flesh, which, whether we want to admit it or not, a lot of us are very guilty of living in the realm of religion rather than the realm of relationship. A relationship is God doing everything for me and I just accept His grace. But when we get stuck in that mindset, in fact, that's what Paul is going to deal with in the book of Galatians. Have you begun in the Spirit and now are made perfect, mature by the works of the flesh? The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak are life and of spirit. And grace, Christ has done all the work. I simply thank Him and accept the gift of His grace. That's true of salvation. That's true of sanctification. How many times do we think, well, in order to get closer to God, I've got to do these things. You know, you do these seven steps. Here's the seven steps you got to do. Oh, if you do this, you start to talk right, you dress right, you eat right, you drink right, you do all these things, and we come up with a list of rules. That's religion. That's not a relationship. We've totally missed the grace of God. It's His grace. It's His grace. It's all about Him. And again, there's the first thing I want to mention. It's His grace. When we talk about His grace and His glory, or His glory and His grace, first of all, it's His grace. It's not about me. It's about Him. And just like the moon, if we were to, again, if you look at the moon's about a half stage right now. It's waxing. There's going to be a full moon in a week or so. And you look at the moon in the evening, it's up and before the sun comes down, you see the moon up in the sky right now. Does that moon give off any light? But wait, I see that light from the moon. Where's that light come from that we see on the moon? From the sun. It's reflecting the light off the sun. That's why you only see half of it now, because the sun's just shining on the one half of it. In fact, if you look real close, you can see the other half because it's kind of in the shadow. You just got to look close to it and you can see the other half of it. But that's just because of reflection light coming from outer space, coming back from the sun. But that moon shines no light on its own. It has no glory of its own. It has no power or energy of its own. All of it comes from the sun. And that's what Christianity is. That's what a relationship with Christ is. We're just reflecting His glory. Not our glory, not our goodness, not our worth, not ourselves. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's His grace. It's His glory. And secondly, it is not only His grace, but it's His glory. We only experience an infinitesimal fraction. That is a word. I looked it up. After I wrote it five times, it didn't come up in spell check. It must be right. An infinitesimal fraction of His glory is seen in us, but it's His grace. It's His glory. And it is His glory. I have no glory of my own. I have no grace. I have no ability of my own. I have no way to live the Christian life on my own. I can't do things on my own. I've learned to pray in the last month or so, God, I'm broken. And when something's broken, it's our tendency to do what? Fix it. Can this be fixed? How can I fix this? God, don't fix me. I don't want to be fixed. I want to stay broken because that's where worship begins. And when I'm broken, God can make me into His image. You see, if I'm going to be made into His image, I need to have my image broken first. I need to have my glory broken first. My ideas, my model, my understanding needs to be done away with. And that's the same with salvation. It's the same with walking with Him. It's His glory. It's His grace. I have no glory of my own. Naught have I gotten but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I believed. Boasting excluded and pride I abase. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. This is my song. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. It's His glory. It's His grace. Turn, if you will, back to Romans chapter number 7. I said that Galatians is a short version of the book of Romans. Back in Romans chapter number 7, Paul deals more in length with this thought of His glory and His grace. And we're going to come back to Galatians here in a minute. The just shall live by faith. It's His glory. And it's His grace. In Romans chapter number 7, Paul says in verse number 18, as he talks about the struggle that every one of us has between the flesh and the spirit, he says, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to me to will is present, with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. In other words, I cannot live the way God wants me to live. I can't live the Christian. I can't save myself. Paul understood that. The first half of the book of Romans talks about that. Now he's talking about living the spiritual life. I can't live the Spirit-filled life the way I choose, the way I want to. I desire, I truly want to do right. I want to live for God, but I can't do it. Because our natural tendency is to do it, well, if I do this, God will be pleased with that. If I do this, God will bless me. No, it's His grace. It's His glory. It's not for my glory. And if we do it in our flesh, we're glorifying ourselves. Now, verse number 25 of chapter 7, Paul gives us the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And here's the answer in verse number 1 of chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And notice, again, Paul's talking about not salvation. He's talking about living for God, for His glory and His grace, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. I want to go on, but I'm going to stop there. I'm going to go through the rest of the whole chapter, and I don't want to take time to do that. But what I'm saying is, it's His grace and His glory. It's not my grace. It's not my goodness. It's not my works. And it's not for my glory. It's not so you would think high of me or think good of me, but I want you to see all of this comes. And back in Galatians chapter number 1, I want you to see where this comes from, where this grace and glory comes from. It only comes from one place, as far as we're concerned. It's repeated three different times in the five verses that we read earlier. In verse number 1, God says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by who? Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised Him from the dead. God sent us His glory and His grace in the person of Jesus Christ. In verse number 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Unto the churches. God works through churches, plural. That kind of messes up evangelical doctrine today. The churches. A church is a body of Jesus Christ. We're to be His body, walking in His grace, walking for His glory, walking in His power. Not our strength, not our wisdom, not our understanding, but in His grace as a church, as a body of believers. And then in verse number 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from, not just as in verse number 1 it says by Jesus Christ, but notice in verse number 3, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the Lord Jesus Christ, not even just Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord is a title recognizing His glory. That He is the only begotten of God, that He is God Himself. He is the Lord of the universe. He is the master of all things. By Him and for Him were all things created. He is not only the Lord, but He is our Lord. I like that. Just like when Jesus said to pray not only to the Father in heaven, but our Father in heaven. He is our Lord. We recognize His lordship in our life. That's where grace and glory comes from, by recognizing His lordship. And He is Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, I often say, is His earthly name that was given by the angels. Ye shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from his sin. Jesus is the equivalent to Joshua in the Old Testament, which means Jehovah is salvation. This is fully God, yet fully man. He is Jehovah that came as a man to bring salvation to lost men like you and I, to lost sinners like us. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the New Testament equivalent to the Old Testament title of the Messiah. The promised one, the sent one, the one that was sent to redeem us, the promise of the Father that came to bring salvation. The one and only way to access the very throne of God is through that person, the Messiah, the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ. His grace and His glory only comes through the person. It's given to us by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, how sweet it is to walk with that person, Jesus Christ. And we don't see Him in the flesh today. In fact, when He left this world, He said, I'm leaving you, but I'm going to leave you another. And He's just as much God as I am. You're not going to see Him. You're not going to be able to touch Him. But He is the person of the Holy Spirit. And it's all about His grace and His glory. It's all about Him. And our desire in life is to know His grace and to reflect His glory. Not to show our glory. Not to live the way we're supposed to live. Religion can help people live the way they're supposed to live. But God can transform us, and He transforms us by first breaking us of our own will. Breaking us of our own being. Breaking us of our own person. That we might be reformed, remade into His image. And that work isn't going to be done till we no longer have a sin nature. Till we get to heaven. And every day, and I learned to pray, God, I'm broken, keep me broken. So I learned to talk. So I learned to say with the Apostle Paul, Thy grace is sufficient for me. I find Your grace can help me to get through the heartache, the hurt, the pain, the suffering, the anguish that we feel on a daily basis. The more we seek God, the more we seek that we're broken. We need God's grace. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet if you will.